You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patter. Today is Tuesday, September 14th. Your Rangers are 53-90 after a just real bad loss. The Astros 15-1 on Monday night. Things did not go well for anybody involved. I'm not going to talk about that game right now. I will talk about it on tomorrow's episode because I've got part two with special guest Noah Thomas. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. Every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both past and present, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, I talked a little bit with Miller Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks last week about the series, about what the Rangers did, and, you know, just about what it's like to be a team on the rebuild, how hard that is, and, you know, all kinds of other great stuff. Him and Diamondbacks fans can really empathize with the pain of, you know, following a team and supporting a team that is not doing it super hot right now. But always a blast to talk with him. So without further ado, here's part two of my talk with Miller Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks.
You're talking about the trade deadline deals for the Rangers. Isn't it kind of weird that when you trade Cal Gibson and Ian Kennedy, two guys are near the age of 40, you get back a prospect who was top 30 in all of baseball, not top 30 in the Phillies organization. This was a top 30 guy in all of baseball, but you trade your two-time All-Star, Joey Gallo, and you got to pay, what, 90% of his contract, and you don't get back a top five prospect? Yes, you got back like four of their top 30 prospects, but to trade a two-time All-Star and get and have to pay his entire contract and not get back a top five prospect in an organization like the Yankees, who at least on paper seem to build a good farm system, but you know, they can always go out there and pay players. Like, let's put them over our knee and make them give up a top five prospect. They're going to go out there and pay for a superstar. Let's make sure if we're going to trade one to them, give us what the best you got. And I don't understand why more GMs don't do that. That's the biggest reason why I don't want to trade Ketel Marte, because I don't have faith the D-backs organization is going to get back a great deal. Now, when they traded Zach Greinke, they got back three of the top five prospects in the Astros organization, but you know what that's amounted to so far? Nothing. We've seen two of them on the major league level this year. They've gotten shelled every time that they're two pitchers. They've gotten shelled every time they've gone on the mound to pitch. The third guy, he's a first baseman. He rakes in the minors, but they say his defense is so, yeah, Seth Beer. He rakes in the minors, but they say his defense is so bad he can't be called up until they bring the DH back to the NL. So at the end of the day, I would just rather keep the established superstar player. And if I'm going to trade him, I would rather trade Ketel Marte for maybe, obviously, I can't get Ketel Marte player back in return, but at least give me guys, young guys who I've seen on the major league level in flash, instead of trying to give me a top prospect like a Jurickson Profar, who, even though he might have all the tools, I just don't know what you are until I see you on the major league level. So for the Rangers, don't you think it's still kind of weird that they didn't get back an established guy, a true top five guy for Joey Gallo, but did get one back in the Kyle Gibson, Ian Kennedy deal?
Yeah, I think that was a little, I don't know. I thought Joey Gallo was the best guy on the market. I thought it was by far. I didn't think it was anywhere particularly close. And I love Kyle Gibson. I love what he did this year. And it was nice to have a guy who has that veteran presence and like knows how to like be around the winners and knows how to like work hard and like figure things out and kind of turn himself around. Like, I think that is an incredibly helpful thing. But, like, I do think Josh Smith, who is one of the guys that they got back, Ezekiel Duran, I think both those guys are really solid. I think they're a little underrated in the system. Also, at this point, like, with prospect rankings, you kind of have to throw a little bit of it out because, yeah, you know, we always have to take it with a grain of salt because, as I always say, if the people who are evaluating, like, prospects, be it at, like, any sport, like, whether it's, like, draft prospects in the NFL, like NBA, NHL, whatever, if they were really the best of the best, some team would be employing them to not tell everyone about what this is, but to help them actually find the best one. So like, they're solid, they're good at what they do, but like, they're not like the leading expert of all of them. And also, there's a whole year that they missed that nobody really saw anybody's prospects. Nobody saw almost anybody because nobody saw anybody in real life. So let alone why would they be seeing these prospects? So there's a whole basically year of information missing. It's that gap is kind of starting to be filled in because we've had this whole minor league season. But still, there's a lot of information that wasn't seen and wasn't gathered last year that I think needs to be taken into account. But like John Daniels was the GM when this team started the rebuild that eventually led to a window of basically 7 years of contention. So he knows how to tear down and bring it back to the studs and get ready and build something for the long term. So I like those guys. And Spencer Howard, I think the only reason they got him is because the Phillies are winning now. Thank goodness for the NL East being such a trash fire that the Phillies can compete. And they thought they were in it. And so they're like, we don't have time to like take this guy and Spencer Howard, who's got some really great stuff, but was a reliever throughout most of college. I believe his last year or last couple of years is when he started starting. And so they just need to lengthen him out. That's what the Rangers are doing. They're giving him like 2-3 innings at a time, just working on maintaining that velocity because it would kind of fall off a lot during starts. So they have the time to just sit there and give him a start every fifth day and be like, all right, you're only going to go 2-3 innings. That's fine. We're not trying to win this game. So we don't have to like rely on you to do like be a major league starter at a very capable level. And I'm glad the Phillies didn't just shove him in the bullpen and say, you know what? No. So that the Rangers can take a chance on him, getting him at his lowest value, selling Kyle Gibson and Ian Kennedy at their highest value. And I think that deal is going to work out really, really well for the Rangers.
Yeah, I think I like that Kyle Gibson, Ian Kennedy deal even more. I'm just hoping we keep Ketel Marte for the long term because the thing that's different in baseball compared to, like, say, basketball, I guess NFL will be kind of different or kind of similar, but you can just sign these guys to 10-year deals. Like, the D-backs can wait, rebuild this. Ketel Marte is like 28. If it takes them 3-4 years to rebuild, Ketel Marte is still going to be 32 years old. You could give him a 7-year deal. And still, on the second half of that deal, the back half of that deal, he can still be a part of a winning culture for the D-backs. And it's easier to build a winning team when you have great players on your roster. So I would want the D-backs to keep Ketel Marte until at least the last possible moment we have to trade him, which is still not for another couple of years. We still got his arbitration, I believe, as well. So the D-backs should still hold on to Ketel Marte, not try to rush to trade him. Now, don't do what the Rockies are doing. Keep your guy past the deadline when you know he doesn't want to be there. If Ketel Marte comes out and he's like, man, I'm not happy, I don't know what this organization is doing, then yeah, it's time to start trading Ketel Marte.
Well, you at least have a GM. You at least have an acting GM, which the Rockies don't really have right now.
Yeah, well, currently we have one. He had to miss some time earlier because his wife was dealing with some health issues, but that's another story. Hopefully she's okay. I haven't seen any updates recently, but yeah, Mike Hazen, when he is around the organization, he is a very active guy, and I'm still wary on Mike Hazen. I know he's probably viewed nicely in terms of the public perception of him, but I'm still holding out reservations because I still don't know. A lot of the moves he does has been a little weary, and I'm still holding out on Torrey Lavelle. Still don't know. It's the final year of his contract, so I'm not too sure if he'll be back next season.
This episode is brought to you by BetOnline. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo, which means make a bet on Thursday, September 9th, season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys, and if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all sports action, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
But you did mention the Rangers rebuild. As a D-backs fan, I'm not entirely sure what we're trying to do. I think we're trying to rebuild now. But a couple years ago, we were like an 80-plus win team. We signed Bumgarner. And we were trying to win. And then the pandemic hit. We sucked. So we were like, it's a COVID year. It doesn't count. Now we come back in 2021. Worst team in baseball. It's like, where are we now? What do we do? I don't know. But for the Rangers, at least they traded their older players at peak value. They traded their all-star, which you don't like to see. But it seems like the Rangers are accepting who they are. Something I wish the D-backs would do. Just accept who you are. If you're a bad team, just accept that and get off your good players, except for Ketel Marte, and try to rebuild this thing. So for the Rangers, are they trying to rebuild this thing slowly and just grow this farm system and grow this young talent? Or are they going to say, hey, let's get this young talent on the major league level and let's start trying to acquire starters and go after guys in free agency and try to maybe quick rebuild this thing and get back to the Rangers winning ways?
You know, I'm a little concerned because this is the first year they've actually like said rebuild. There's so few teams that actually like openly say like, all right, yeah, we're rebuilding. It's just like the Orioles who are like in constant rebuild mode. And like the Rangers only just now said, I mean, last year they had the second worst record in baseball. They were bad basically the year before. They kind of fooled themselves into being in contention for a little bit, but like, they probably should have started rebuilding after that 2016 run. Like, that's probably when they should have done it. I mean, they traded Yu Darvish the next year in 2017. And I think 2018, or was it 2019, was his last year. Was Adrian Beltre's last year.
It is 2016 was his last. Oh, well, let me check. I'm on it right now. Hold on. I'll tell you in a second. You keep talking. Yeah. 2018 was his last year.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, like, 2019, like, at the, like right at the beginning there, they should have probably like absolutely torn it down to the studs. They didn't want to do that while Adrian Beltre was there. They wanted to at least try and keep it competitive, which they were okay in 2018. They had a nice first half in 2019. They brought on Hunter Pence and he was fun for a while. But like half measures during a rebuild make rebuilds longer. And the Rangers are saying like, all right, we want like 2023. That's when we want to start contending again, which like, no, you can't do like a 2-3 year rebuild. You did get the number two overall pick, and I did appreciate them being very terrible in a 60 game season as opposed to 162. Like, if you're going to start it, like, start it with like the diet season, like, it still counts as a number two overall pick, but like, it hurts a little bit less, or it just hurts for a shorter time. It's been a little bit rougher this year, and I hope they can end up with a number two overall pick. They've got to at least be top five. If they get out of the top five, I'm gonna be real mad. But they're saying they want to spend this offseason, which, like, I don't think they should. They've been rumored to be in on Carlos Correa and a potential homecoming for Clayton Kershaw because he lives in Dallas, and apparently it's been rumored that he wants to come home for a while. But, like, I don't know. I don't think that's smart. I think this team is too far out of a rebuild. The starting pitching has made a bigger leap than I thought they would. But the offense just isn't quite there. If Adolis Garcia is your best hitter, and he is your best hitter right now, I think that's a little bit of a concern. There is a reason that he was given up on so easily in St. Louis, and even the Rangers DFA'd him at the very start of the season, before the regular season. Like, he's done wonderful. I'm like, all credit to him, but the guy just doesn't quite walk enough to be like consistent. He's had a great season. He's going to break the Rangers rookie home run record. He's at 29 right now. The record is 30, set by Pete Incaviglia in the 90s. So like he's going to get that, but like long-term, I don't think he's quite star level. I don't think he has another leap to take. That great whole first month was fun, but like Nathaniel Lowe is not a first division starting first baseman. He's just not. Nick Solak might be. Willie Calhoun might be at DH. Leody Taveras, I think, is at center field. Other than that, there's a whole lot of question marks in there. First base, IKF is great and fun. Unless he starts walking a whole bunch, I don't think he's a first division starter either. Third base is going to be Josh Young next year, but like the rest of the outfield slots are question marks. So like you need a lot of offensive firepower. Bringing in only Carlos Correa is not going to fix this offense unless you like sign a whole bunch of guys in this offseason, which I don't think ownership will do despite all these rumors. And not only that, I just don't think they should do it. So I think 2024 is a more realistic expectation of like, all right, we're pulling out of it. These guys like Josh Young will have been a big leader for a few years, will start to be finding his prime. Some of these other guys, I think that they traded for, like Josh Smith and Justin Foscue, who was a first round pick from 2019, who's in Double A right now. I think he'll be about at the big league level. So, like, you got to give some time for these guys to matriculate. It's not just like, oh, look, our top prospect is called up this year, therefore he's going to be at his ceiling. Like, he's still a rookie. He's still a rookie. All those guys are still going to be pretty young. So you got to give him some time. And I think rushing a rebuild is about the worst thing you can do. So I think being patient, even though it's painful, I think it will be worth it. Otherwise, you're going to be back in the rebuild in 2 years after that. And nobody wants that.
Yeah, it's hard to keep that perspective because sometimes you see guys like Fernando Tatis or Wander Franco come up in the rookie season. They already seem like MLB superstars. Vlad Guerrero Jr. in their first, 100 games, they already seem like MLB superstars. So sometimes it's hard to keep that perspective and patience. And looking at the worst records in baseball right now, Rangers, fourth worst record. It looks like you guys got like 7 games on the Nationals. So unless the Rangers, okay, I mean, I guess they've been on a hot streak though. I mean, you guys have won what, 6 of your last 7 or 6 straight. So you guys been on a hot streak recently. So if you keep this up, you might fall out of that top 5, but still, I don't think it would happen. I mean, after the Nationals, the Marlins are only 1 game back of that. So you have at least an 8 game lead on being a top 5 worst record team. That's in good. Baseball.
The guy who I really want, I want to make sure right now, Baseball America came out with a list of their top 5 college guys. I can't remember who 4 or 2 through 5 were. But number 1 is another fellow Texas Tech Red Raider, brother of Rangers first round pick Josh Young and top prospect Jace Young, who plays second base for Texas Tech. Had an absolutely outstanding first full college season, hit something like, I think, 25, maybe 30 home runs. Like, the dude was just whopping bombs left and right. And I would like to have him, please. I would like to have 2 Texas Tech brothers. That would be very nice. Plus, I think he's also really good. So, like, that's who I really want next year. I'm already looking ahead, as I'm sure you are, a little bit at that next year draft. I'm like, why aren't there more comprehensive next year's draft coverage things coming out right now? Like, the other draft already happened. Like, come on, guys. Where is it? Where's the content?
This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all of that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by... This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why would you endure all these questions, like, is your car LX, EX, whatever, and wait for the person behind the counter to order parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com in your home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why would you spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more the same parts from a chain store or a dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every single customer, and they've got everything that you need. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Seeing 2 brothers, that'd be pretty interesting. I don't know the last team that had 2 brothers starting for them. Maybe it was the Upton brothers, because then they played together in Atlanta. That might have been the last 2 times.
Yeah, I think that was the last. Did they play together with the Diamondbacks for a little bit? I know they did in Atlanta. I think it might have just been Atlanta.
Yeah, I feel like it was just Atlanta. So that would be interesting. But one of the final questions I want to ask you, because you've been talking about the rebuild. I don't personally, at least in baseball, I don't believe in tanking when it comes to you shouldn't go into a season thinking, let's try to lose as many games as possible. Now, after 50, 75 games, after trying to win 50 or 75 games and your team just can't and your team just keeps losing, then I believe you should fully lean the tank. But I don't believe you have to go into a season thinking, let's tank this year to try and build up our farm system, try and get that number one pick, because baseball, listen, it's like a 40-round draft. There's talent everywhere. The best players in baseball most likely weren't drafted in the first round. So because of that, yes, you get more options when you draft at the top of the first round, but I don't personally believe you have to go into a season and believe you have to tank for your team to be successful 5 years from now. I guess that would be the Astros model. So where do you stand on that? Do you believe in tanking in baseball? Do you feel like, hey, after 100 games, if we suck, then let's just say, hey, go home, Kyle Gibson, or we'll trade you at the deadline and we'll be bad the second half of the year?
I think there's a little bit of merit to it, but obviously, like, obviously you're never going to be openly tanking, because like that's teaching your baseball players bad lessons. Like, you're teaching them to not be successful, to not try, whatever. And that's instills bad habits that are, you know, detrimental to their career. So like, obviously no one's going to ever come out and say we're tanking, whatever. But like, at a certain point, like, there's a reason the guys at the top of the draft are the guys at the top of the draft. Usually those are the guys with the highest upside and the highest floors as well. So like, you want to be picking in that range more often if you can. You also have more international signing bonus money, so you can get some of those guys in Latin America. But like, I think teaching winning habits, having like a good manager, having a consistent culture through like from the start of the rebuild through like when you actually start contending, I think that helps you transition out of it. So like, I don't have any idea who the Diamondbacks manager is, but the Rangers manager, Chris Woodward, he's been there for a while. They fired Jeff Banister a little earlier that shocked some people. And he did a really good job. Banister was great in 15 and 16 when the Rangers won back-to-back AL West titles from that young Astros squad that still had basically the exact same core. But, you know, Jeff Banister had basically one mode of like, it's never ever quit, just grit, just grind, just rah, 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 suck it up and do it. Which, like, the Rangers squad that year, they had the players that responded to that, and that was good. But like, when you're rebuilding, when you have a bunch of young players and you're getting your butts beat every night, just grit through it doesn't really work. You gotta, you know, kind of adjust your message. You gotta talk a little differently to these guys. I think Chris Woodward's done a really good job of that. He's also done a good job of like blending like the old school and new school, like just understanding baseball and people. That's the old school of it. And also understanding the analytics and implementing them. That's what the Rangers thought they were getting in Jeff Banister, because he was the Pirates with Clint Hurdle for so long. But he just reverted to full on old school after that. And so having that consistent culture, I think, and like I said earlier, having that star. So it's like, they know what the team is like. You have a given leader on the team everyone can look to, who knows what the squad is about, knows what the organization is about. I think that's very helpful in transitioning out of a rebuild. It's not, you know, absolutely necessary, but it's extremely, extremely helpful.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you should just try and stay competitive in baseball. No salary cap. You go out there, you can get the players you want. I think it's just a lot easier to rebuild in baseball as opposed to other teams. You don't have to tank, or as opposed to other sports, you don't have to tank. It's a lot easier to find talent in the draft. It's a lot easier to find talent free agency and international. Like you said, the international pool, international signings, like that changes the game. Honestly, some of the biggest stars in baseball just come from the international market nowadays. So you don't even have to go to the draft for that. So I don't believe you have to tank in baseball to build a good team in the next few years. But one final question I want to ask you, Bryce, how are you feeling with the AL wildcard standings right now? It seems like an AL East team is going to take home the two wildcards. You got the Red Sox with, I believe, a game and a half as we're recording this set on Thursday, 7:15 p.m. I believe the Red Sox have a game and a half on the Yankees. I think the Blue Jays are within a game and a half, too. And then I think the Mariners are fourth. So right now, who are you leaning toward to take home the two wild cards in the American League?
You know, as much as I hate myself to say it, I think the Yankees are going to take home that first wild card. And, you know, the reason is Boston didn't do enough of the deadline. I think, like, they rested on their laurels. There were signs this team wasn't quite as good as they were performing all year. They needed starting pitching. They really did. And them just saying, No, our guys are fine. We're going to bring in Chris Sale. That'll fix everything. You still have four more spots in your rotation, and like maybe one or two of them are average players. Like, I love Martin Perez to death. I love him, and I wish him nothing but, you know, happiness and success for his whole life. But he's not an above-average starting pitcher, and he was in the rotation a big part of it. Nick Pivetta, I think, was a little bit of smoke and mirrors, and he's coming back down to earth a little bit. But I think the Yankees are surging at the right time. Maybe the Blue Jays can catch him. This Mariners team, I think, is going to win the AL West as soon as next year and kind of run this division for a while. So I don't know that they quite have enough to get past the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, but like they'll give it their all. And, you know, they might give the Astros a little bit of a scare because Oakland's kind of fallen off a cliff the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm leaning toward the Red Sox and Yankees. I agree with you that the Red Sox didn't do enough. Whenever I talk to other lockdown hosts around the MLB trade deadline, the Red Sox were one of my teams I felt like just missed out on that big move. It didn't have to be a Max Scherzer, but a guy like Kyle Gibson of the Texas Rangers. Like, they just desperately needed someone else. Yes, Nathan Eovaldi was an all-star, but he was playing above his head the first half. He's still a pretty good pitcher, but he should not be the ace of your team. He's more of a number three.
Them and the Padres had similar things. They just needed like one adult in the room to add to their rotation. Like, the Padres starters were a little more flashy and they had more, like, I don't know, reason to be hopeful because they had a Blake Snell and a Joe Musgrove and a Yu Darvish. Darvish has kind of fallen off a little bit. Hurts me to say that. I don't even know that I believe that it's true because I love Yu Darvish so much. But like, they needed a little bit more depth in there. And the Red Sox, you know, they've been playing a little bit over their heads, and so they need a little help. I think the Blue Jays could have used another starter in the rotation as well. I was a little surprised there wasn't more talk about Kyle Gibson to the Blue Jays. That's where I thought he would go. I did not see the Phillies coming as a destination, but, you know, I'm really happy with the trade. Very happy to have Spencer Howard, and it seems like Spencer Howard's very happy to be in Texas with a change of scenery and a team that's actually going to let him start consistently.
You think Kyle Gibson had any chance of winning the – of course, the Rangers were bad, but did you think Kyle Gibson had any chance of winning the Cy Young Award? Because if you look at it, I guess Gerrit Cole would be in first place, but even my former guy, Robbie Ray, is going to be arguably in second place for that Cy Young Award. Maybe Lance Lynn. Like, do you think Kyle Gibson had a chance before he got traded?
No, because Lance Lynn pitched just incredible season last year. Just absolutely incredible. I think he finished like what, fifth in the Cy Young voting last year. Just like, when you're on a bad team, you just don't get nearly as much of a look. And as much as that sucks, that's just kind of the way it goes. Obviously Shohei Ohtani is going to win the AL MVP this year as well. He should, even though the Angels are a bit of a trash fire as they've always been, but he's just having a historic season. But yeah, I don't think Kyle Gibson really had much of a chance at that Cy Young if he stayed on the Rangers.
Yeah. I always got mad whenever Mike Trout got the MVP award and his team was like in dead last, because I was like, I have a little respect for the best player on, you know, one of the better teams in baseball. But when it comes to Shohei Ohtani, I just throw all those rules and feelings away, just because, I mean, the man is literally their best slugger, and they've been waiting for a pitcher for years, and he decided to be their best slugger and best pitcher. So I feel like you have to give him the award the next 10 years. Like, I feel like one day we have to rename the MVP Ohtani.
There's going to be like a separate award, the like MVP besides Shohei Ohtani, or the Cy Young besides Shohei Ohtani, because what he's doing is just like, it is the most exciting thing in sports right now, I'd say.
Yeah, I probably really couldn't argue with that. So it looks like we got the Yankees. What did you say, the Red Sox or Blue Jays for the second wild card? I forgot already.
Oh, I didn't. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to say Blue Jays. Sorry, Red Sox fans, if there's any of you listening to this random Rangers and Diamondbacks crossover. But yeah, I feel good about the Blue Jays. I want to believe. I'm probably going to be wrong, but you know what? Who cares?
Well, that would hurt my soul a little bit if I saw Robbie Ray out there for a wild card game fighting for his life and possibly dominating, because he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball the last couple of years with the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't know if it's been because he's in Canada. Like, he hasn't even really been in Canada because of the pandemic. Like, they haven't even been there. So I don't know I don't know. I guess they said they went back to his original delivery. So I guess it was the D-backs' fault for why he wasn't pitching well in Arizona.
Oh, so you guys broke him. Oh, okay.
We broke him. Allegedly, we broke him. That's what Blue Jays Twitter tells me. I was like, it was a change of scenery. He just had to get out of Arizona. They were like, no. All he did was go back to his original delivery. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I haven't watched him too much, so I'll take their word for it. But I'm going to use the fact that he was cursed by the D-backs as the reason why he couldn't perform here. Well, Bryce, we've been talking here for 45 minutes. Where can the Lockdown listeners, the Lockdown D-backs listeners find you? I mean, they have to know, Bryce. Where can they find you on social media?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. That's Bryce with an I, Patrick with no C. You can follow the show just at Locked On Rangers. I know our hockey fans are not happy that I got that. But, you know, my Locked On Rangers was here first. So if you want to ask me Rangers questions or randomly some New York Rangers questions, I will do my best to answer both of those. Where can the fine folks listening to Locked On Rangers find you and all your good stuff, Millard?
At Creator Thomas 24 for my personal account. You know it's me and you know it's Bryce because we got the blue check mark. So you know it's us on Twitter when you see that. But for the show account, I bet you if you just type in Locked On Diamondbacks on the Twitter search bar, the Instagram search bar, I'm pretty sure it will pop up. Bryce, thanks for hopping on today's pod. Thanks for the last minute response to me asking you if you could hop on today's crossover. We haven't caught up in like a year, so man, it's good to see you. Good to see that you're okay, and I'm hoping you're staying safe out there in Texas.
Doing my best, man. Look, I'm always here to hop on with a fellow Locked On MLB sad boy. We got to look out for each other because if we don't, then no one else will.
That's true. Bryce Patrick of Locked On Rangers, thank you for hopping on and giving us some time today, buddy.
Thanks, man. Take it easy.